Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, October 28, 2010. Carla Bittard is the speaker of this service teaching on spiritual adultery. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Webster says, "I pretending to be what one is not." Jesus called them, "you hypocrites." A good example in the New Testament of this kind of deceit is in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5. See, there's nothing that we do that God does not know about. And I believe that we are entering the times when these things will no longer be looked over or winked at. And God is going to clean up He's separating the sheep from the sheep. Forget the goats. The sheep from the sheep. Those that call themselves sheep from the true remnant, the true sheep of the shepherd. And I believe that these times are coming back. He wants us to be a holy people. So in chapter 5 it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession." See, the church was set, they were setting up church. The people were bringing all that they had in common, selling what they had and bringing it in common. That's kingdom now. That's kingdom. When if all of us came together and brought everything that we owned, there would be sufficient for everyone who had a need of whatever the need was. But because the world is in us, we have our own kingdoms, our castle and our chariot and our fine clothes and our possessions. And they're ours, and we just get more and more and more. Sometimes we'll just, give you a little chump change or throw you something if you need it. But that's not what the kingdom. The kingdom is like they brought everything together. So here's this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they had a piece of land. And they wanted to be a part of this, but their hearts were not right. So they sold some land and verse 2, "and kept back part of the price. His wife also knowing of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Hypocrite, deceit, liar is really what it is. They had plotted, "Okay, now this is what we're going to do. We sold this land for this much, but we're going to bring this much, like that's how much. We want to be thought of like these other people. We want to have that reputation that gave it all. But we're going to keep back this much for ourselves." Nobody knows about it. In the privacy of their house, they made this agreement. But then they went and laid it at Peter's feet. In verse 3, they didn't go together. They went separately. "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Busted. Can you see it? It's like, does he know? How did he know? Nobody knew. The Holy Ghost knows everything. So, there he was, this in hypocrisy, pretending he was presenting himself as something that he was not. And then in verse 4, Peter says, while you owned it, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? See, nobody would have cared if they would have just brought. Nobody put that requirement on them. But they wanted people to think that they were doing that. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died. Now, I think we're coming back to those days. That when we present ourselves as something that we're not, we don't know that that's not even why some are stricken with, I don't know, deadly diseases, dropping dead of heart attacks. We don't know. And great fear came on all them who heard these things. Don't you know it? Great fear. Okay. Verse 6, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, this is how the Lord is. Jesus will always give you opportunity. Verse 8, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. He knew the amount that her husband had brought. Is this how much your land was? Opportunity to tell the truth. She said, yep, because that was the agreement. She wasn't going to say what was different than what they agreed, but she didn't know her husband was dead and buried. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them who have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down immediately at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now, I don't like to deal. You know, sometimes I'll say something to a person and I'll say, listen, I'm not telling you this to instill fear in you because that's not of God. But there is a healthy fear. And as we just read, there needs to be a healthy fear when we handle the things of God. A healthy fear. It not only could cost us what we do for the Lord, our families, the church, but maybe even our life will be required. Luke 12:2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hidden that shall not be known. How can we read these scriptures and then think that we can get away with things? It's deception. It's those seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's a doctrine of a demon, to think that you can do those things and get away with it. Verse 3, therefore, whatever ye have spoken in darkness, now we're even just talking about words, shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. We're in a serious business. And especially those who stand behind a pulpit or teach or lead, the accountability is even greater. I'll tell y'all, the Lord dealt with me about speeding some years ago. And so I don't speed. Now, I was going to Houston, and normally I travel I-10 from Beaumont to Houston. It's 70 miles an hour, just about all the way there, 65 in some places. But I was told that if I took 90, this other road, it's shorter. Of course, there's a bunch of little towns. They all have red lights, and, you know, you can't just drive straight through. But sometimes the speed limit is 55 in some of those places, and when you come into the town, it gets down to 45 and then 35, and then you got to stop for the light, and you know, and that goes on and on and on. I'd rather just travel 10, set my cruise control, and go. Well, I wasn't aware that the speed limit was 55. And all these cars, there's about 11 cars We all left the chute at the same time at the red light. And we're all traveling the same speed. I was just traveling with the speed of the traffic, not even really knowing that I thought the top speed was 70. Of course, they're all going more than 70, and I'm right there with them. And I was kind of in the back. There was a car to the side, one behind me, and all the rest of them were in front. And there was a highway patrolman on the other side of a big grassy area, and on the other side, and he turned around in the grass and came and stopped me. Hey, Lord, they're all going the same speed. I could not believe it. I pull over. Ma'am, is there any reason you need to be speeding? I said, I didn't even know I was speeding. I thought I was going with the flow of traffic. I didn't say anything. He gave me a warning, thank God, because I learned this from Jerry. When he turned around and said, God, don't let him give me a ticket! I cry out, man, if I see one turn around, Lord, don't let him give me a ticket! She told me how to cry out to God. I can be a lot louder in the car. I'm kind of subdued in a crowd. But anyway, I did not want a ticket. So he gave me a warning, and I was thankful for that. But after he left, I'm back on the road. And I said, Lord, we were all going the same speed. Why, if everybody was going the same speed, why did I get stopped? He said, you're not everybody else. I mean, when he means it. He means it. You say you want to be a minister, a pastor, but it's serious business. And we've heard a lot of teaching about repentance. And my prayer this morning, we have one more morning. I was thinking, you know, Lord, when they asked me to come teach, I thought, okay, Lord, well, you know everything I've got. Which one of those teachings do you want me to give? What would be the best one? And a day or two later, I'm coming out of sleep. I was dreaming, actually, and I could hear me teaching. This. And when I woke up, I could still hear it. Scriptures, everything, everything. I just went to my chair, got my spiral and my pen. By the time I had my second cup of coffee, it was done. Well, I took a look at it and I thought, yuck. I don't know, Lord. This is kind of heavy. And Mike said, I told Mike about it and he goes, you sure that's what he wants you to do? Sounds kind of like a reprimand. I said, I know. I thought the same thing. So listen, the other day, after Mike, are you sure that's what you're gonna? Are you sure that's what you're gonna teach? I said, I'm pretty sure, honey. So I thought. He said, well, maybe you need to pray about it again. I said, I get nervous when you go praying again because I know what happened to Balaam. Hey, I don't need to run into any talking jackasses, okay? But I hope if I'm ever that much out of the way, I'll have a talking jacket. Tell me what I need to hear. But I was praying, and that morning I was reading. I just, you know, I read just over, like Hamilton. You know, they read so many chapters a day, and that's become my practice. And so there was nothing in those particular chapters that day, but there was a reference, and I went to the reference, and wow, I didn't even know that was in Acts. And it's Jesus said to Paul, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. I said, okay, that does it. I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm just going to take it and give what you gave me, Lord. But this is a serious business. Now, back to my pastor brother. When these things begin to pop up. Gambling, drinking, marijuana, and he would drive up. Of course, he was always by himself because you can't take any buddies with you when you're doing things, you know. And one time he got stopped when he left the casino and he got a ticket driving under the influence. One time he was in a recreation room playing pool and gambling. And this is the story we heard. Drive-by shooting, he got shot in the back. Nearly lost his life. But who wants their pastor to be shot in the back in a pool hall? These things begin to catch up with him. They begin to be known. And they begin to take him. You know, the Methodists move their preachers around. Sometimes the idea is to start out little and go big. But they begin to put him in smaller towns and smaller towns and smaller churches. And I knew they weren't. They really were trying to make him quit. They wanted him out. But they wouldn't take him out. They're going to just move him until it's such a less income and stuff that he would quit. Surely he'll quit. Well, that's all he knew. And he was getting close to retirement, too. That was a thing. He wanted his retirement. He had served in the church for 27 years, and in his mind, he was doing a good job on Sundays. And finally, he was forced out of the pastorate. And it was, he had a heart attack. He's now bipolar. And, it, you know, the end is not good. Now, I've not given up because in the scripture, the story of Lazarus became very personal to me one day when the words jumped off the page, "Thy brother will live again." Now, that story of Lazarus is an interesting one too, because we all start out spiritually dead, like Lazarus was dead. And then we have an encounter with Jesus, and we are resurrected from the dead. And we come out of that resurrected place, having lived in this world and having picked up luggage and demons and all these things. When Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, "Loose him." It says he was bound with grave clothes. Bound with grave clothes. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Now, that's why we need deliverance. And that's why this camp is such a good place to go. You know, Las Vegas, what happens here stays here. That's a lie. But I can tell you that what happens at Lake Hamilton stays at Lake Hamilton. We don't go off and talk about so-and-so and so-and-so. I don't even remember. When we pray for people, I don't even remember what the Lord shows me or what is said to the people. And that's a blessing. Otherwise, I think maybe sometimes you would be carrying so many burdens, but that's, you know, it's a miracle that we don't carry the burden. It's not even our burden. It's the burden of the Lord. And one time there was a lady that Dr. Null put me on her, called me over, told me to pray for her, and I was praying for her, and you know, it was great deliverance. And we go in there to eat breakfast, and they're like, "Man, that lady, man, she got some deliverance." And I was thinking, well, where was I? How did I miss that? And they said, "You were praying for her." I said, "Oh, I had already forgotten." That's how it is, though, really. And people will come and say, "Remember when you prayed for me about this?" I said, "No." "You don't remember?" "No." I mean, and thank God we don't remember. We're just a conduit, you know. It's like jumper cables. I see myself as jumper cables. In fact, I shot somebody this morning. But anyway, it's like, you know, we really offer our bodies as living sacrifices. He gave his life. Now he's with God. And his body, when he was here, he did all these things. But he's there. And now we. That's why the greater works were going to be done whenever he went to his Father, because now everything he was, we have and are. in the world. And so, my hands, I just said, Lord, here's my hands. Here's my mouth. Whatever. And He does it. We're just like jumper cables. Connect here, connect there. I mean, I'm visual, so I see things like that. So we really need deliverance, and the ministers need deliverance most of all. One reason is because if you have not received deliverance for that thing, you're of no help to someone else who has it. Because Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub. Had a lady that was a really strong Jezebel, and her, of course, her daughter was a really strong Jezebel too, and she was learning about deliverance, and she had been trying to cast this Jezebel spirit out of her daughter, and she called me up and said, why is this not working? I am casting it out. And I didn't know the lady that well. And I said, Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub. You know, and it's like, this is the way the Lord just does it. You know, you realize what came out of your mouth? You don't even know. I mean, God does that. He gives the words, and they're just coming out of your mouth, and you don't even know you were going to say it. And then it was like, oops, did I say that? She said, well, what do you mean? I said, I thought about it, and I said, oh, Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub? Well, if you have a Jezebel spirit, you can't cast a Jezebel spirit out of somebody else. That's how I learned that. On the spot. with my foot in my mouth. But not really. It is the truth that makes us free. And I don't have a problem telling you the truth. Especially if you ask. But sometimes even when you don't. And I don't mean to be that way, but I really relate to Peter. He's my kind of guy. Talk first. I have a bunch of spots in my Bible. I have oops out beside it. Oops. Where it'll be, I'll probably talk about some of those things in the religious spirit teaching. But, you know, sometimes we say things and we think they're going to be thought well of. Like when Jesus said, now, you know, we're going to go, these are things that are going to happen to me. And Peter thinks he's being so noble. Never! Get thee behind me, Satan. Oops. I thought you were going to think that I was really loyal and fight for your life, you know, but nope. That came from the devil. So he knows us, and he knows every one of us, and he knows our hearts, he knows our secrets, he knows our weaknesses, but he doesn't condemn us for those things. He won't leave us in that place. He won't leave us there if we repent. Just can't get past that repentance. We've heard this several times this weekend, but 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news. That's the good news. And so, you know, I was thinking, okay, Lord, they've got me at Thursday at 3 o'clock. The thing is almost over then. So if there is anything that you came here with in your little compartment that you don't want to go home with it. Let me put it that way. Don't go home with it. This is the place. These are the people that you can trust to, like the question earlier today, do you have to repent of the thing? Do they have to know what it is? Well, no, not really. But it's to your benefit if you can lay down the fear, the pride, all of that. Humble yourself and allow that thing to be dealt with. And we've had some of those today because that was my prayer, Lord. This is Thursday. It's over tomorrow morning. And if there's anything that people came here, condemned, self-condemnation, the devil's tormenting them, blackmailing them, Because I tell you, you really will not be able to minister in the force that you want to minister in with if those things are not dealt with. They will stand in your way. They will be your demise. So let's pray. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you to release a spirit of conviction, not condemnation, not guilt nor shame or secrecy, hypocrisy, none of those things, Lord, but a true desire to leave here with a clean heart. A clean heart. Father, that we can humble ourselves, that we can confess our faults one to another, because we all have them. We've all had to deal with some things. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just want to touch on some of these things. I feel like first we need to, if you have a thing, if something has convicted you while you've heard the Word of God come forth, I just want you to bring it up right now in your conscious mind, and let's pray a prayer of confession and repentance. And you can confess the thing with your lips without saying it out loud, whatever it is. Everybody mind their own business. Listen to your own self and not what someone else is saying. Just pray. Father, I come to you and I thank you that you want to free me from this thing. I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of Satan tormenting me with it. I know I brought it on my own self. I ask you to forgive me for that. But I want it gone. So right now I just say to you, Father, forgive me for, and then give him your thing. Just give him your thing. Let him have it. Break the devil's power over your torment and over your guilt and your shame, your fear. In the name of Jesus, we confess it, Lord, so that we can be free, so that we can be healed. So now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of idolatry. Every spirit of idolatry, that thing you bowed your knee to, that thing that you were disloyal to God in. Idolatry, we bind you and break your power, and we command you to go right now. Any areas that you defected your loyalty to God, we bind it and break it and command it to go right now. All the generational curses that are involved, this weakness that's passed down, all the familiar spirits that followed your family line that has been guiding you into those places of falling and weaknesses and sin. We bind those generational curses right now and we break them. I break the curse of the firstborn off of every firstborn here. In the name of Jesus, we bind it and break it. Satan, you will not have them in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of adultery, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, all spirits of adultery, I bind you and break your power. You go in Jesus' name. All fornication, we break your power in Jesus' name. We command you to go. All spirits of whoredom, go. Whether it's a real whore or something that you've chased after that doesn't have anything to do with adultery, we break that spirit of whoredom, of chasing after the strange things, the seducing spirits. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. You know, Jeremiah 3:3 says, and thou hast a whore's forehead. And then after that it says, thou refusest to be ashamed. So I break the whore's forehead that has been holding you back from being even ashamed of what you've done to bring you to the point of repentance. In Jesus' name, I come against emotional adultery. Intimacy, emotional intimacy, or mental intimacy with another person other than your mate. I bind and break emotional intimacy. Spiritual abandonment of your loyalty or devotion to God. Spiritual abandonment. Spiritual adultery in the name of Jesus. I come against all lust spirits. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. Lusting after things you know you should not lust after in Jesus' name. I come against spiritual blindness to the point that you couldn't even see the thing that you're doing. Spiritual blind, that's deception. In the name of Jesus, I bind and break every spirit of deception and justification, justifying what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, making excuses or blaming it on somebody else. I bind the lying spirit, lying to cover it up, lying to yourself and believing the lie. In Jesus' name, all spirits of lying, go. I break your power in Jesus' name and command you to go. Hypocrisy, pretending to be something that you're not, presenting yourself as something that you're not. I bind all spirits of hypocrisy right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of fantasy, all spirits of fantasy. Maybe you're not doing these things, but you think about it. All fantasy, go in the name of Jesus. Vain imaginations and daydreaming in the name of Jesus, we command you to go. All envy, envying another minister's work or their gift or whatever. Envy and jealousy and covetousness, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. The spirit of competition, competing with other ministers, trying to be better than them. All competition, we bind you and command you to go. Critical spirits, criticizing another man's work, criticizing their how they live, the car they drive, the house they live in, whatever is not your business that you are talking about. All those critical spirits, in the name of Jesus, we bind you and break your power. Now, all the hiding spirits, hiding and sneaking and secretive spirits, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of pornography, looking at pornography. Lord, I break the soul ties with every woman that they've looked at in the name of Jesus, and men and everything that you've looked at, whether it's women with men, men with men, men with animals, men with children, women with children, all of that, every bit of that filth in the name of Jesus, I bind it, break it, and command it to go in Jesus' name. And every familiar spirit in the name of Jesus, you go. Soul ties, evil soul ties, even evil soul ties with your pastor or other people in the church. I bind and break all evil soul ties in Jesus' name. Break soul ties with people that you've chatted with in those chat rooms. Ask the Lord to forgive you if you've played around on the internet with these matchmaking things. You know, I'm just curious. You know, sometimes they have weekends. Look at your matches for free this weekend. Boy, there's a seducing spirit. Why don't you just see who they would match you up with? It'd be fun. Lie. You'll go from seeing it and wanting to see a picture, wanting to know their name, and then you want to talk to them, and that's how it happens. That happens all the time on the internet. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask you to clean their memories. I ask you just to wipe from their memories everything that they've been involved with, the smells that are arousing, the taste, the feeling, the things that they heard, all those things that are seducing spirits. I just ask you to wipe their memories, erase it, Lord, push the delete button on their memories in Jesus' name, and cleanse their memories. Lord, restore in us a right spirit and a clean heart and a right spirit. I come against all spirits of shame and guilt in the name of Jesus. I bind and break all spirits of shame and guilt if you've repented it. If you haven't repented it, it's going to be there anyway. I don't have to curse you with it. It comes automatically. It's part of the package. All embarrassment, Lord, I just ask you to strip everyone of being embarrassed to talk about whatever it is that's giving them a problem so that we can be set free. When your heart doesn't condemn you, then you can have confidence in God. That's really true. We want you to have a confidence whenever you go to minister and when you talk to the Lord. Be confident. Otherwise, you're hiding like Adam and Eve did. I loved what Brother Jim said. Where we compromise, the enemy will capitalize. That is so true. The little foxes spoil the vine. Lord, let us shut every door right now to every temptation, every seducing spirit, to that spirit that's hunting for the precious life. We shut the door in its face. That we will not move away from our first love, Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this entire conference. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the deliverance that we're all getting in Jesus' name. Lord, as we go to eat another meal, Lord, I ask you to bless the food. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the food that we're going to eat, but we thank you also for this food of your word, Lord, that we are feasting on this weekend. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. I'll write it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.